story mountain, that phrase itself comes from Dante's description of the purgatory. We will see it is quite literally a seven-story mountain. So we need to appreciate Dante's inventiveness in the way that he has created and structured much of the imagery of purgatory that's remained part of at least the Catholic tradition ever since.
And of course, that inventiveness consists of a geography. It turns out that in a very curious way, it is related to the geography of hell. The cone that is hell is sort of caused by Satan's fall, but if he didn't know Newton, but every action has an equal and opposite reaction, it pushes out at the other side of the world a mountain. Okay? So that Satan's fall actually creates the mountain of purgatory in the southern hemisphere, which in Dante's time, at least among some thinkers, was thought to be uninhabited and uninhabitable. So what you have is a mountain coming out, sort of on a desert island, if you want to put it that way, coming out of Satan's fall, and Dante takes this mountain and kind of arranges it in a very precise and exact way.
There are three basic divisions to this second canticle of Dante's Commedia, the Purgatory. There are three gross divisions, and then, as we'll see in a minute, in the main part, the seven-story mountain, there are some subdivisions. But first, Dante spends a good deal of time, roughly a quarter of the entire Purgatory, describing sort of getting to the gate of Purgatory proper, what is usually called the anti-Purgatory, where there are several groups of sinners who have to wait for a while before they begin the process of purgation, the actual process of entering through the gates of purgatory. They are, among others, those who were excommunicated, those who made God wait, that is to say, those who didn't begin to repent until the very end of their lives. In return, God makes them wait a little bit, if you will. And then going through the gate, we get to the actual seven terraces of purgatory, each one of which is defined by what are traditionally called the seven deadly sins that we're going to refer to more as the seven tendencies, or deadly tendencies, if you will. And then on the top of this mountain, we have the earthly paradise, that is to say, the paradise that Adam and Eve inhabited. So we're going to get to the earthly paradise, and in fact, we're going to spend a good deal of time in the earthly paradise in the lecture after this one.
Yeah, in fact, this notion of the seven deadly sins might be something we could say a little bit more about before we begin our climb along with Dante. First of all, it doesn't make as good a t-shirt as seven deadly sins, okay? And they, you know, they still represent sort of nifty cartoon characters. I mean, you know, once a month, the New Yorker will have some kind of cartoon that involves a seven deadly sin or another. The important thing, I think, once again, is the differences between the way sin is construed and constructed in Purgatorio, the difference between that and its infernal variation. What Dante the poet was interested in Inferno were actual sinful actions. Right? Here are things that people did not repent of, are now being punished for, or now, better yet, see the consequences of, are now forced to reenact, if you will. But in Purgatory, we're looking at sin in a different way. We're looking at root causes. What is it that is sort of behind any given action? Okay, and the seven deadly sins was a system of classification for all of the tendencies in the direction, well, ultimately in any direction against God. Right? Anything that turns the soul away from God is going to be sinful, and dividing them into seven was a time-honored, by Dante's time anyhow, and very, very important set of important classification.
Now, remember that when we entered into hell, we started with, in this scheme, sort of the least serious sins and went toward the most serious sins. In purgatory, we begin, the bottom terrace of the seven stories is, in fact, the most serious of all these tendencies, that is to say, pride, which in some ways is the root of all sins. You could almost say that every sin is a combination of pride and something else. So that we begin with the terrace of pride, and in fact, in the next lecture, we're going to spend a good deal of time talking about that terrace, and then we do envy and avarice, and they sort of form a group of three. So these are the first three terraces of the seven-story mountain.
After that, we get to